Hey everybody, this is Benjamin, aka The Terrible Australian, and welcome to the 8th edition of my 2016 Myth audio reviews. For this one, I will be reviewing the indie comedy drama Captain Fantastic, and as well as the anthology film Madly. So let's get right into it. And of course, as I've stated in previous episodes, I will be reviewing both the plot summaries for both these films from the 2016 Myth program guide. So let's get right into it. And first up, of course, is Captain Fantastic. Devout father Ben Cash, Viggo Mortensen, and his six children live in a self-imposed isolation deep within the forest. It isn't until tragedy strikes that Ben is forced to park his VW and leave his counterculture paradise to embark on a five-day sojourn to New Mexico, exposing his children to Western capitalist culture for the first time. Now, I wasn't really sure what to expect from Captain Fantastic when I saw it at the festival. The only thing I knew about it, and this is kind of the same thing I've done with a few films at this year's festival, is sort of basing it on word of mouth from critics and also who's involved. I've heard nothing but good reviews about it, especially out of Sundance and as well as the Cannes Film Festival, and as well as, you know, it stars Viggo Mortensen, and for those reasons alone why I was really interested to check it out. And now, having seen the film, I have to say, while I don't think it's, and I apologize for saying this, I don't think it's fantastic. Again, I'm so sorry for doing that. But I thought it was a really good film. I really quite enjoyed it. And I think one of the main reasons why I really enjoyed it as much was because of the cast. Of course, Viggo Mortensen, as you would expect, gives a great performance. He always gives 110% no matter what film he takes on. And his performance here is no different. And what I really like about his character is that his character is not the most likable dude. His sort of character is kind of has this sort of intellectual, sort of hippie, kind of smug vibe about him, and which kind of makes him a bit unlikable. But at the same time, he's very charismatic, and you can understand, very intelligent, and you find him just really interesting as a character. And his character kind of goes on his own journey as the film goes along. But it's really his relationship with his six kids, who all the young actors who play his kids in the film are all great. Like, they give really great work. And particularly George McKay, who's been in other films in the past, like Sunshine on Leaf, Pride. He plays the oldest son of the kids, and he is definitely the standout, because he definitely is the one who has the most to do with his character, and his character kind of goes on his own journey as well, and we kind of get, and you can't help but feel for him as well, as him trying to sort of make sense of everything that's going on, as particularly with this tragedy that's affecting them all, and him going out into, like, even though he knows a lot about the world, but he's never actually experienced the world until now, and pretty much all the kids are, and they kind of seeing all this, I mean, experiencing all this for the first time, being around people who do not sort of think the same way as them or do the things the same way as they do. And to me, that was kind of an interesting way on how to explore these characters. And to me, I love the films that do that, where characters are kind of who have gone through life being a certain way, and they have to kind of go out into the world and kind of see things differently and experience things differently for the first time. So in that regards, that's what I found really engaging about the film. And also, it's also quite funny, and it's also quite touching as well. And also, it is also a bit quirky, but the quirkiness of the film actually does work, and it's not sort of overbearing or kind of annoying as it is in other indie films. Like, there's the perfect right amount of it in this film, and it's mainly just sort of supplied towards Viggo and his family, but them sort of meeting all the sort of normal regular people that they meet along the way, like other family members and friends and all that, and sort of how they're sort of, how both sides kind of see the world differently kind of clash when they meet. And in that regard, that's what I found quite engaging about the film. And I have to say, the film's script, which was written by the film's director, Matt Ross, and if the name sounds familiar, Matt Ross is primarily known as an actor, and he has starred in a lot of films and TV shows like American Psycho, Silicon Valley, and a few others. This is his second film as writer and director, and he did a pretty good job. Like, the script is really well written, and the film is full of a lot of wit and a lot of honesty as well, and just a really interesting characters, and his direction is really well done as well, and very confidently. Also, but in terms of negatives about the film, Like I couldn't help but feel like there was a tight smugness about the film, and I think that might have been deliberate, and I think that's mainly to do with sort of Viggo Mortensen's character. Like he sort of starts out being that way, and as the film goes along, he sort of starts to question whether his sort of way of life is actually good for his kids or whether it's actually bad, and him sort of trying to come to terms with that. But I meant in terms of like how the character kind of sees the world, and I think that is deliberate. So that maybe I'm sort of, and I've sort of kept trying to decide whether it was just mainly just from a character standpoint, and this is just a ca or maybe it's the film itself might be a bit smug. So I'm sort of was a bit unsure about that, but it didn't bother me too much. But you can kind of feel a bit a hint of it, almost like there's kind of a little bit of that throughout. But I mean, not too much, but there is a little bit of hint of that there. And also the third act, which I thought was fine, but it felt to me like compared to everything that sort of happened prior to in the first two acts, it where the sort of went with the story in the third act just felt very sort of very sentimental and twee and contrived. And it kind of feels like, and it just feels very, at the end of the day, it just doesn't feel sort of organic to how the story was being presented prior to the sort of the third act. Like I said, it's okay, like it's fine, but you can't help but feel like it's kind of, it feels artificial because of that. But there is a scene towards the end that I actually did love, and I thought was one of my favorite scenes in the whole film. So I will give the film ending for at least giving us that scene because it was actually pretty touching. But overall, I thought Captain Fantastic is a really good film. I quite enjoyed it. I could definitely see it being kind of a love it or hate it affair because I have read both reviews and also people who have seen the film at MIFF kind of being a bit mixed about it. But I thought it was pretty good overall. Not amazing, but I thought it was pretty good. I'd say it's worth a watch. So if I had to give this film a rating, I'd give it a solid 3.5. Now on to the next film, which of course is the anthology film Madly, and this one is about hopping between continents, subjects, styles, and moods. Madly takes a whirlwind tour of affection, romance, and sexual experimentation, aka human connection in all its forms. From the problems of parenthood to the struggles of coming out, no amorous stone is left unturned. Combining the filmmaking talents of Gael Garcia Bernal, Sebastian Silva, Mia Wasikowska, Anang Kashyap, I apologize if I butchered that filmmaker's last name, Sion Sono, and debuting as director Bat Falash's singer-songwriter Natasha Khan. Now, I really do enjoy anthology films, and anytime I sort of hear one that is being made, particularly if it's playing at MIFF, I definitely try to seek it out. But sometimes, as much as I do have an interest in them, but sometimes they can be very inconsistent, mainly because with every good anthology film, you can always get a pretty average one. And it's mainly to do with the actual, you know, films themselves, because you get a sort of some stories that are really good and others that are not quite so good. So in that regard, you kind of expect that with every anthology film. But with Madly, though, I honestly, I didn't really like this one at all. It to me, it just felt really poorly put together as an anthology film. And I know it's sort of like a film that sort of explores, with at least with these short films, that kind of explored love in different forms. Like you kind of get different sort of aspects of love in some of these shorts. But unfortunately, other than one short, most of them I found really kind of pointless and uninspired, which is a shame because a lot of the talent that they got for this anthology film is pretty strong. Sebastian Silva is a pretty solid filmmaker, but his short I just didn't really think much of, and it just felt like it was, even though it's has a good setup being sort of a coming out story of a man accepting his finally coming to terms with his sexuality. I just didn't feel like it went. It just felt kind of lazy, and I mean its heart's in the right place, but it just felt like it needed more to be done with it, and it just took kind of the sort of contrived route when it came to its story. And kind of some of the stories were like that. And one of the ones I was really disappointed by was Mia Wasikowska. A couple of years back, she did a short for in my favorite film from MIFF 2013, which was Tim Winton's The Tourney. I thought her short that she wrote and directed for that as her debut as a filmmaker was really strong and one of the best entries there. And when I heard that she was making one for this one, I was really excited. And particularly, it was going to be one of her original works. Unfortunately, her short didn't work for me either. I honestly couldn't figure out what the point of her short was. And also, like, it's sort of about a mother and a baby. And to me, there's a lot of scenes where the baby's crying a lot. And I know some people will be annoyed by that. But for me, honestly, I just found sort of, and even though there's a point for the baby crying and all that all the time, because it affects the main character and all that, and to me, it just came off as rather a bit distressing and a bit exploitive as well, because I guess this is kind of being an uncle, that side of me just wanted to sort of help that child. So in that way, I just found it just really frustrating. Yeah. So, but to me, the best short of the whole film was definitely Sion Sono's segment. His segment was absolutely hilarious, and it actually felt like a complete story, and it was just pitch perfect. It was absolutely hilarious, and it's quintessential Sion Sono. This is him at his like absolute entertaining best. It's a lot of fun. It's really hilarious, and to me, it was the highlight of the whole film. I will say this: Natasha Khan's segment, which was the final one, I thought was a mixed bag, but I would say it's the second best, because there were aspects of that one I did like, but I could explain why, but that would go into spoiler territory. But overall, yeah, Madly was a pretty poor anthology film. I just didn't really like it at all, and it just didn't work overall as an anthology film. And other than Sion Sono's segment and to an extent Natasha Khan's segment, I just thought it was just pretty uninspired and a bit lazy. So if I had to give Madly a rating, I give it 2 stars. So yeah, that's the end of this sixth edition of my 2016 MIF audio reviews. I hope you guys all enjoyed listening to it. And keep a lookout very soon for my 9th edition, in which I will be reviewing director Ira Sachs' latest film, the coming-of-age drama Little Men, and as well as the sort of drama thriller Frank and Lola, starring Michael Shannon and Imogen Poots. So keep a lookout for that one, and see you all later. See you, everyone. Bye.